Good to see you all. Children's Church, you are dismissed. Children's Church, you are dismissed. This morning, we're going to be in the book of 1 Kings 18, back where we were last week. If you remember, we looked at verse 21 in particular. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, we looked at verse 21 in particular. As Elijah called out the prophets of Baal and called upon God's people, if you remember, he asked them to make a decision. He said, make a decision. How long will you limp between these two decisions? For if God is indeed God, then follow Him. So he called upon God's people. He said, if God is indeed God, follow Him. And this morning we're going to look at the rest of the story. As Elijah called upon the prophets of Baal into an equal challenge to look at whose God really was the one true God. And I remember this story from when I was young in Sunday school, and it's a story that I haven't heard in a long time. And I don't know why, but I don't know that Old Testament preaching is as popular as it used to be, but I grew up with some godly influences in my life that really gave me a love and a passion for the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is as relevant now as it was several thousand years ago. You know, we talked about some of the issues that Elijah was facing. A church that was basically turning away from God and moving to the worship of idols. This God named Baal, who they basically believed to be the God of the sun and the God who provided the sun that was necessary for the growing of good crops. And so they were worshiping this God for the intent of having a greater crop, for the intent that He would be the God who would send them the sunshine that was needed to be blessed. And they were turning away from the one true God and turning to the idol worship of this false God. Now, even though we live in a society today where I believe overwhelmingly the vast majority of us know that we don't believe in idol worship, while some may still participate in it, we still live in a nation and in a world that is greatly turning away from faithful following of God. Even though we may not turn to a God named Baal, we regularly turn to other gods in our lives. Whether it be greater jobs, pursuit of money, whether it be the pursuit of happiness, whether it be the pursuits of addictions within our life, whether it be things like sports and other hobbies, there's all kinds of things that we make idols unto our lives. And we want to see how relevant it is that even in the Old Testament, the message that was preached then is relevant unto today. So as we get ready to turn into Scripture, I had a brother joking with me this morning here a couple weeks ago at work. I got a little bit injured, a little bit, just slightly, not bad. Y'all heard about it. I was responding to an individual that was breaking into one of our academic buildings. And when I got there, he was not very cooperative, and I later found out that he was very intoxicated. But in the midst of that, a pretty good struggle ensued. Just so you all know, yes, I was moderately injured in my knee, but I still won the fight, okay? I don't know if that was all clarified. I still won, all right? We put the Rockcastle moves on him like they'd ever never seen in Lexington before, and he went to the hospital first and then to the jail second. So I still won the fight, but we thank you for your prayers. My knee is all good. And they sent me to some training this week to learn how to be a baton instructor. So I guess they figure instead of using my bare hands, they figure I need to learn how to use some tools. So the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, I want us to stand together. We're going to read verses 21 through 30. Verses 21 through 30, before the sermon's over, we'll look at through verse 40. But just for brevity this morning, we're going to start out reading through verse 30. 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, but if it is Baal, then follow Him. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all of the people answered, it is well spoken. And Elijah says to the prophet of Baal, choose yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and they called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their customs with swords and with lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of obliteration, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah says to the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. You may be seated. Father God, we thank you today for the opportunity that you've given us to come here and to be in your house. Lord, to fellowship here one with another. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you just teach us from your word this morning. Lord, that you help us to better understand, Lord, how that your word, even though that this story is several thousands of years old, how that is still relevant unto today. Lord, help us see that you are truly the one true God, the God who can send the fire down from heaven. Lord, Father, I pray today if there's anybody beneath the sound of my voice who is likened unto the people in this story, maybe they're between two decisions as to will they really follow you or will they follow the things of this life, the idols of this world. Then, Lord, I pray that today this message speak to their hearts and help them to see that you are the one true God, the great God, the almighty God, the God of all mercy, the God of all grace, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. Lord, I pray that maybe if there's somebody here today who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, then Lord, I pray that they would come and give their heart and their life to you and be saved. Lord, I pray you just use this message to speak boldly to your church today, Lord. Father, I pray that you but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world, Lord, that you just give me the words that you would have me to say, the things that you would have me to share. Lord, Father, I just pray that you take our church, Lord, that you grow us and you multiply us, not just in numbers, Lord, but Lord, grow us in Christian maturity, Lord. Help us to be the believers that you would have us to be, the more faithful believers, that we can do a great work in this community to see people saved. Lord, to do a great work in this community to help the needs of those in this community, Lord, who need to experience your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, send us to do great things. Lord, and we'll give you all the honor, the glory, and the credit. So, Father, we just place it all at the foot of your cross. We pray for the leadership of your Spirit. It's in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You know, we've been talking for the last several weeks about the church, the role of the church, what God has put us here to do, what our challenge is to do as the followers of God. And this morning, the entitlement of this message is being the church of God. And you know, whether you really think about it or look at it or not, really what Elijah was doing was he was calling upon the people of God to be the people of God. That's what he wanted them to do. He cried out to him. He called unto him. He says, if God be God, then follow him. If God be Baal, then follow him. He's crying out unto the people, be followers of God. Be the church that he wants us to be. And you know, that's our cry today. That's my greatest desire as a pastor, is for us as a body of believers, is just to be the church that God wants us to be His people. Be His people. He's called us. If you know the Lord as your personal Savior, He's called you to be His. Be His people. Be His servant. Let us be His church. And that's what Elijah called the people to do, and that's what he called them to be. But if we're going to be the church of God, if we're going to be the people of God, there's a few things that we need to see and recognize. And notice what Elijah shared with the people. I want you to know this morning, if we're going to be the church and the people of God, we must first step up and be accounted for. You know, last week we talked about how there was a decision that had to be made. In verses 20 and 21, Elijah kind of said it like this. And Elijah came near to all of the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people didn't answer him a word. God's people were there. 450 prophets of Baal were there. The prophets of Jezebel were there. And in total, there were over 700 and some followers of false gods that were present. And he cries out unto the people. He says, "If Lord is God, be God's people and follow Him." But nobody answered a word. You know, the greatest desire of me as a pastor, I believe that God's greatest desire for us as a church today is to just be God's people. And if we're going to be God's people, and if we're going to be God's church, then we've got to step up. Step up. There's too many of us that are unwilling to step up and be accounted for. The people here answered him not a word. I believe that many, many men are standing in pulpits all across the nation today, and in some way, shape, or form, they're probably preaching similar messages. If you're God's people, just step up. I believe in some way, shape, or form, that's the focus of almost every point or every part of some sermon, is if you're God's people, step up. And that was the problem then, and it's a problem that we see today. He said, as God's church and as God's people, they were unwilling to be accounted for. We see that there was a great spiritual indecision. The people just couldn't decide. Yes, God is good. Yes, the Lord is great. He is the one who freed our forefathers from Egypt. He is the one who saw them across the Red Sea. He is the one who provided for them in the wilderness for over 40 years. He is the one who ultimately would lead them unto the promised land. Yeah, God is good. But then there's also this God of Baal. This God whom we believe sends us the sunshine that ultimately helps to grow our crops. Well, maybe he's good also, this great spiritual indecision. Living in a nation and a world today that says, yeah, there's probably a lot of different ways that you can get to heaven. That if you'll just be faithful to something, you'll probably be okay. That's not truth. That's not reality. Amen? The truth and the reality is this. If God is God, follow Him. But the people answered Him not because of their spiritual indecisions. Church, we've got to make a decision. God's people, we've got to make a decision that we be spiritually undecided no more. Amen? That we be spiritually undecided no more. If God is God, let us follow Him. If there is some other God that leads you in the direction of your life, whether it be your possessions, whether it be your things, whether it be your hobbies, then follow that. These are strong words for hard times. If God is God, follow Him. We've got to move from spiritual indecision to having a strong spiritual foundation. Amen? You see, with spiritual indecision, we can never get it right. Christ speaking in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, He said it like this. He said, speaking of indecision, He said, "Whosoever is with not, who is not with me is against me. And whosoever does not gather with me scatters." Jesus spoke some powerful words for hard times. He said, "Whosoever is not with me is against me." You see, we live in a nation and society that says, "I just want to be neutral. I don't want to take a vote. I don't want to take a count. I don't want to be against or for anybody or anything. I just want to be neutral." Well, church, I'm here to tell you today, that it doesn't work like that. As the followers in the church of God, we've got to stand up and be accounted for. And even the words of Christ say this, if you're not for me, you are against me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be against the Lord. I don't want to be against Christ. I don't want to be against the one true God. So He commands us to move from spiritual indecisionness unto having a strong spiritual foundation. That's what Elijah wanted. He just wanted the people of God and the church of God to be the people and the church of God and follow Him. In moving to a greater spiritual foundation, I thought about the words of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, you probably have seen this before. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the God of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, even in the generations before this, Joshua, in the early days of being in the Promised Land and leading up to it, he was even having this same problem with the people, a spiritual indecisionness. He says, serve the Lord your God, serve the God of the Amorites, or serve your idols, but make a decision. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're going to be God's people, if you're going to be the church of God, it requires making a decision and stepping up and being counted one way or the other. But I don't know about you, but I want to be on the right side of God. You see, Elijah's message wasn't just, if you're going to be the church and we're going to be God's people, we've got to step up and be accounted for. He continued on and he shared it like this. If we're going to be God's church and we're going to be God's people, we must be willing to oftentimes stand alone. Look at what he said in the very next verse preceding in verse 22. Verse 22 of 1 Kings 18. And Elijah says to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are over 450 men, not even counting the prophets of Jezebel and one of the other false gods who is basically the female version of this god Baal. 700 and some odd followers of false gods in total were standing against Elijah and the church and God's people. He says, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. If we're truly going to be God's people and God's church, we need to understand that in the world that we live in today, we're oftentimes going to have to stand by ourselves. You may come to realize that not everybody you work with shares your views and your faith in God. You may realize that not everybody you come encounter with from day to day and from week to week is going to share your views and your faith and your belief in God. We see it in the workplace, we see it in businesses, we see it in our homes, we see it in education, we see it in government, and we see it in politics. Christianity is becoming a minority. Hear me again. Christianity is becoming a minority. And as the generations go on, you will find yourself standing alone for the cause of Christ more and more. Even Jesus told His disciples, He told them this, giving them a forbearing and a warning. After His death, burial, crucifixion, and resurrection, Christ told them, He said, you will find yourself in a lifetime, in your lifetime, in a time when people will want to kill you because of my name. You see, the church started out as a minority. You know, there were so few who were willing to follow Christ in the beginning. It began as a minority. And to me, how sad it is that 2,000 years later, the church is once again becoming a minority. Why? Because there's so many who struggle with spiritual indecisiveness. They cannot stand up and be accounted for. They're unwilling to move against the grain. You know, Paul basically said it like this in to the church of Thessalonica. He said there'll be a day come when there'll be nobody who wants to hear sound preaching anymore. There'll be a day when they want to hear sermons that tickle their ears. You would probably assume maybe that I deliver a sermon that tickled your ears, that make you feel good about yourself, that make you feel as if you've never really done anything wrong, that there's no such thing as sin. Because you see, sin makes us realize and see and understand that we're not perfect, that we fall short, that we have failures. Nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody wants to feel bad. That's why we see churches that thrive today when the preaching from the pulpit is nothing but pretty much garbage. I'll just be honest with you. What's the point in preaching a message that doesn't convict against sin? What's the point in preaching a message that doesn't tell you that Christ is the only way to heaven? What's the point in preaching a message that doesn't strive and enthuse and try to drive you to be a better follower of God? What's the point in preaching a message that doesn't tell you to stand up and be accounted for? It may not always be popular, but I can promise you this, I'll preach to you the truth. Because I only preach the things that God sends me and the messages that He lays on my heart. But sometimes that means we have to be willing to stand alone. You see, what the people of this day did not realize as Elijah stood before them is that idol worship is futile. You see, Elijah told them, we'll have a little challenge. We'll take two bulls. You can choose first the animal that you would like. You can prepare that animal and lay it upon the altar, your altar, to Baal, and you can call upon your God to send down fire to take up this offering. And they chose their animal, they laid it on the altar, and for the first part of the day, they cried out unto their God, Baal. Cried out, crying and praying unto him that he would send down the fire to eat up that offering. And they cried for the first half of the day, and nothing. Well, then Elijah begins to maybe poke a little bit of fun at them. And he begins to put some human qualities under their God. And he says, you know, maybe your God just isn't listening. Maybe you should cry a little bit louder. Kind of like when I'm at home on my computer with my headphones on trying to watch YouTube videos. And Heather's trying to talk to me. You can laugh, that was a joke, it was funny. Or you're trying to read the newspaper, and you've got the newspaper up, and your wife's trying to talk to you, and you don't hear a word that she says. Elijah kind of compared it to that. Cry a little louder, your God's not listening. Elijah even goes as far as to say, maybe your God's off relieving himself somewheres. If you look up the translation of that word, literally means somebody who took a trip to the bathroom. Literally. Elijah says, maybe you need to cry a little bit louder because your God is off relieving himself somewheres. We won't even talk about my bathroom habits this morning. We won't even joke about it. But Elijah compared it like that. He says, cry a little louder. Maybe your God's off musing himself out somewheres for entertainment. Cry a little bit louder. And then it becomes rather sad. As for the second half of the day, the people began to mutilate their bodies. They drew their swords and their lances, and they began to cut themselves until, as the Scripture read, the blood began to pour from their bodies. How sad it was. And then Elijah called all of the people. He says, now, come to me. As the evening time drew near, he says, come to me. Idol worship is futile. Psalm chapter 115, verses 5 through 8, the psalmist David basically said this about idol worship and false gods. He says, they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. They have feet, but they do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Man, David really just laid it out about how futile it is to worship false gods. Mouths that can't speak, eyes that can't see, hands that can't feel, feet that can't walk, a throat that can make no noise. And he says, those of you who make them become like them, and so do all of those that trust in Him. He says, basically, your voice becomes useless. Idol worship is so futile. And even though we live in a world that doesn't worship a God like Baal, we may not put a name to it like Baal, but we still live in a society today where we worship all of these false gods. We have allowed so much to stand in between us and our relationship with God. When I was a kid, I didn't get to be involved in any extracurricular activities that took place on Wednesday night. That was just it. That was the rule. I didn't get to participate in anything on Wednesday nights. When I was getting a little bit older and got into high school, before I surrendered into the ministry, I was in ROTC and I wanted to be on the rifle team. And it was a competitive team. You probably didn't remember, this was back in the early 2000s, but our rifle team went to the national championship in Washington, D.C. back-to-back for 4 years and were runners-up nationally the year before I went to high school. And I practiced and practiced and practiced to get on that team. And I got there, and their practices were on Wednesday. I didn't join. That was the rule in our home, and I didn't. And eventually I went into ministry and there were other obligations that I had on Wednesdays that didn't allow me to participate and be in those things because when it was Wednesday night, I was at church on Wednesday nights. That was just the rule. How many grew up with that rule in your household? All right, about five of us. That's why we're in the condition we're in today, amen? About five of us. Seriously. How many of you people grew up in a home where on Wednesday night you were expected to be at church? A little bit better. That was the home that I grew up in. On Sunday, I was expected to be in church. When I was in high school, I started working in high school and began serving in ministry. I would work all night and come to church on Sunday, just like I do right now in my job. You know, I think everybody realizes it, but on Saturday nights I work. I work till 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And then I come here and I'm here all day. I don't say that because it's me, but I say it because of this. I love the Lord. I love God. And I love what God has called me to do. And because of that, I'm not going to allow other things to stand in my way of coming and worshiping God. We live in a world today, and this hurts a lot of people's feelings, but we allow our children to be involved in things on Wednesday nights, and we say, well, you know what, church isn't as important, and I want them to be well-rounded, so I'm going to let them be involved in sports, and we're going to stop coming to services on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to start letting them be on traveling teams, and we're going to start letting them participate in sports even on Sundays. Church, it's wrong. Might be half of you here next week, but I'm going to tell you this, it's wrong. It's wrong. We've become a world that's full of spiritual indecisiveness and indecisiveness. If God is God, follow Him. If God is God, dedicate your day and your time to Him when He is called and when He has set aside that day for us to worship Him. We must be willing at times to stand alone. If we're going to be God's people, we're going to be God's church, Elijah tells us that not only must we be willing to stand alone, but we must be willing to rebuild broken altars. Probably the saddest part of this story really begins here. You know, it's so sad that we see these 450 prophets of a false god call and call and call upon His name, no answer. Cut and mutilate their bodies, cry out to His name, no answer. And then as the evening hours came, it was now Elijah's turn. It was now Elijah's turn to show them the true power of God. And really the saddest part of the story begins here. Starting in verse 30, in 1 Kings 18, it says it this way, "And Elijah says to all the people, 'Come near to me.' And the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down." If you notice, in the story, when the prophets of Baal prepared their altar for their God, they didn't have to rebuild it. You see, their altar was already prepared. Why? Because the people had actively been giving sacrifices over to Baal. They gave the sacrifices of animals. In one instance we know of in the Old Testament, they even gave a sacrifice of a child over to the God of Baal. This altar was already warm. This was an altar that had already been prepared and well used. And we come to this part in the story as Elijah prepares to present this offering for God. Before he could even lay out the offering, he had to repair the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. You see, this really shows the condition and the hearts of the people, because before God could even be worshipped, before God could even be provided a sacrifice, he had to rebuild the altar that God's people, in the following of false gods, had torn down. Now, we may not be physically going about tearing down the church of God, but I want to tell you something spiritually. We've been doing a lot of tearing down of the church of God. We've been doing a lot of things that are destructive to the church of God over the last generation. And I want to tell you something. Before we can truly be the people in the church of God, we're going to have to go about the work of repairing broken altars. The reality of how far God's people really were away from Him is evident in this one verse. You see, the people had stopped entirely giving sacrifices over to God because they were just stopping and failing to believe in His power. The one true God, the God who brought them to the promised land, the God of their fathers who brought them up out of Egypt, the God who basically established them, they had forgotten Him. You know, I think about another instance in the story. This isn't the first time that this happens, but you know, in a sermon that I preached a few months ago, where basically they were called out as the people, you know, "You have left the living water of God and you've gone and you built your own cisterns. Cisterns built by the hands of man." You remember that? Where the people left God and His goodness, and they tried to prepare up for themselves something better. That's what they were doing here in Elijah's day. The reality is, church, if we're going to be God's people, we're going to be His church, we've got to prepare altars that are broken. Verse 31, he continues on and says it like this. He says, "Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar as great as would contain 2 sheaths of seeds. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bull in pieces, and he laid it out on the wood, and he said, 'Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and upon the wood.' And he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. And he said, 'Do it a third time.' And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water." The first thing that Elijah did was he prepared and restored broken altars. The place that was designed and designated as a place of holy offering unto the one true God. And he built it back up and he said, "This shall be an altar of the Lord." Church, I don't know about you, but I think it's high time we repair broken altars of God. Amen? High time that we repair broken altars of God. And Elijah prepared that altar and dedicated it to the Lord, prepared a sacrifice, and as the story goes, as I remember as a child, the first time that I ever heard this story, I had a Sunday school teacher who had a great big book of Greek and Hebrew, and he would take different words and he would study them out. And I remember how that in the King James it says water pots. And if you look up the translation of what they were talking about, today we would equate it to be like barrels. They took barrels of water and they poured it on this altar. And Elijah prepared to call down the fires of God. As a church and as a people of God, after we repair these broken altars, probably the greatest message that Elijah shared with the people of God, with the church of God, is this. If we're going to be God's church, if we're going to be God's people, we must understand that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers. Verses 36 through 8 says it this way. And at the time of the offering of oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all of these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed a burnt offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. If we're going to be God's people and we're going to be God's church, we need to know and understand that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers. You see, the one thing that the prophets of Baal couldn't understand was that they served a God who couldn't hear prayers, much less answer them. But you and I, we serve a God who doesn't just hear prayers, but you and I, we serve a God who answers those prayers. Look at the prayer that Elijah prayed. The very first thing that he said was this, God, I want you to be recognized. He started this prayer out. He says, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel. The first part of his prayer was showing recognition to the one true God. And you know what? The greatest need in our church, as God's people today, is that we recognize that He is still the one true God who is supreme above all things in this life and in this world. And the very second part of this prayer went like this, is that he wanted all the people to know whom that he was, a follower of God. He says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God and that I am your servant. Why did Elijah say that? I want to tell you why Elijah said it. I believe with all my heart that Elijah said it so that the people would understand that it wasn't Elijah in his own works and his own actions and his own deeds. Because you've got to understand that these people were so easily misled and indecisive that I believe that if for a moment they thought that Elijah done these things of his own power and ability, they would have fell down and worshipped him. That's how sad the people were. But Elijah says, I am your servant. I am your servant. Church, that ought to be our prayer today. Is it not just we give recognition to God, but that we let Him and the world know and remember we are your servants. If we're going to be God's church, if we're going to be God's people, we've got to be His servants. And probably the greatest, most sincere part of this prayer is Elijah asked God to turn the people back to Him. And that I have done all of these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you are you, O Lord our God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Elijah's prayer was that when God would turn the people back. That's my prayer. As a pastor, as a Christian, my prayer is that our hearts would be turned back to God. And God sent down the fire, and He took up that offering. He burnt the wood. He burnt the stone, right down to the dust in the ground and licked up all the water. That is the God that we serve. We need to remember we serve a God who sends the fire from heaven. We need to remember that we serve the God who can do all things. We need to remember we serve the God who loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to remember this is the God we serve. Maybe you're here today and you've never known God. Maybe you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart. You can come today and invite Christ into your heart, and if you truly believe that He is the Son of God, that He has died for you, you can be saved. And I promise you that being saved is a far greater alternative to serving the idols of this world. Give your life to God. Maybe you're here today and as a Christian, you've allowed a lot of things to become idol worship in your life. Maybe it doesn't have the name of Baal, but it has a lot of other names. Maybe you worship and serve those things far greater than you've ever served God. I call you today, quit being spiritually indecisive. Come and serve God. Come and ask God to remove idol worship from your life. Come and ask God that He be more present in your life. That He give you a greater will and a greater desire to be a greater servant of Him. And you know what? God will do it. As our praise and worship team comes, as they prepare this hymn of invitation, this time, I ask that if God is working on your heart, whatever your need, whatever your burden might be, you come, this altar's open to you. You come and pray, I'd be happy to pray with you. Maybe you want to bring somebody together, you come and pray together. However God is working. Lord, as we come and we close out this service, Father, Lord, I pray that hearts and people will be responsive unto Your message. Lord, I pray that we stop and we cease with the indecisiveness, that today we will choose to serve You, the one true God. Lord, I pray that we stop allowing other things to take a hold of our lives and take a hold of our families. Lord, I pray that we dedicate more to You and less to this world. Lord, Father, I pray if there's somebody here who's lost and unknown, they'll come and be saved. Lord, somebody who just needs to come and pray, needs Your strength, needs Your guidance, Lord, I pray they come. We just place it on the altar. It's Your name we pray it. Amen.